today on Rainbow Country. We'll talk about bisexuality with my guest, Johnny Reynolds, and my exit interviews from Big Brother Canada continues. This week, Cindy with an S. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. So let's get social. Let's get interactive on social media. Why not? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Want to send me an email? mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And just so that you know, Rainbow Country is in the top 10 at Podomatic, podomatic.com on their gay and lesbian charts. So yay! Thanks to us. Thanks to you, the listener. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com, marktara.com. So this is episode 45. On this episode, my Big Brother Canada 5 exit interviews continue. Today, Cindy with an S. And we'll talk about bisexuality with my in-studio guest, Johnny Reynolds. We'll also hear music from Bristol, UK artist Tanya Hazel. So, my friends, are you ready? Because this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Big Brother Canada.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Cindy with an S.
Yes.
You are.
Is it Mark with a C or a K?
Mark with a K.
Hey, Mark with a K.
So you are a returning player. You played originally in season 3,
yeah.
And now season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, why did you want to come back to play Big Brother Canada? Talk to me about that.
I don't think why anyone would say no, to be honest. There's been more people that have gone into space and actually played Big Brother. So to get the opportunity, not once, but twice, but 3 times, I'm definitely not going to reject that. I think I was just excited just to go back and live in the Big Brother world and play this game again.
So let's talk about the double eviction. You won the HOH and the double eviction, and Netta ended up being evicted on your HOH.
Yes.
Was Netta your intended target, Cindy?
No, she wasn't. The night before, a couple of us got together to talk about who we should be put up. We'll think we'll just make it like an easy move versus Dylan and Jackie. We were very confident that whatever the veto was, that I was going to win it. And then we thought like maybe the easy move, if a replacement nominee was needed, was Karen. But while they were having that conversation in my head, my mind is always racing at a mile a minute, thinking of, you know, what to do this week, what to do next week, what's the best opportunity. And at that time, we weren't sure if Joey would start at that double eviction. So when it was announced that the immunity was over for Netta, in my head, I was already thinking maybe I should win this HOH. As the night progressed, like, I knew that it was an opportunity. I just wasn't sure that if it was too soon. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get the support within my alliance to do it. So when Ika made her suggestion of Netta and for Kevin and Bruno to not object to the idea of putting up Netta, that's when I knew that, okay, like, if no one in my alliance even cares whether or not to keep her, then maybe I should just take this opportunity and go with the plan that I had, and I did.
So after your big move in the double eviction, you find yourself being up for eviction the next week, and here you are on your way to jury.
Yes.
Do you think there was anything more that you could have done to get the votes to stay in the house, Cindy?
Definitely. I still campaigned up until the very last 2 minutes that I sat on that couch. But to that day, I actually campaigned to Ika and Dimitri. And when we put things on the table and we went through the scenario, they still wanted to keep me. But it was the issue of convincing, you know, the other 4 people that they were working with and not wanting to blindside them. So if I just did that campaigning of what I did the day of, literally just even the night before, that would have been the difference. And I think that would have gotten me the votes. And that, I think, was my downfall, was I originally wanted to go to Ike and Dimitri. That was my original plan. But I really listened to Bruno in a sense that, you know, he really got me distrusting Ika, making it think that it was Ika's fault that I'm on the block. So I really went through a different route, and I should have gone with my gut feeling, which I did the entire season, was going with my gut and going with how I thought the plan. Like, I literally would think through these plans every night. And I think just me being back on the block kind of reminds me of my first season, constantly being back on the block, constantly stressing, constantly campaigning. And I think I just wasn't ready for that point.
So, Cindy, you celebrated your birthday in the Big Brother Canada house, and your housemates made you a special birthday breakfast. What did that mean to you?
That meant a lot to me. And the fact that they surprised me, that was even like a bigger deal. I've never had anyone do a surprise party or do, you know, it's always me planning my own birthday. Maybe it's because I always ruin my own surprises, but it was really nice that the house guests, you know, did come together to celebrate my birthday, and then on top of that to have, you know, the live studio audience sing me happy birthday when I was about to leave. So that was like, as much as I didn't want to go home, I'm very grateful for the birthday that I did get to have and get to celebrate.
Cindy with an S, thank you so much for your time.
Mark with a K, thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your host, Mark Tara. That was my Big Brother Canada exit interview with Cindy with an S. And now Cindy with an S is off to jury with a J Don't forget, you can see Big Brother Canada Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Global TV. When I return, my main guest will be chatting about bisexuality. He's live in studio with me, Johnny Reynolds. That will be right after this.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So he is a member of the Toronto Bisexual Network. He is Johnny Reynolds. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So how are you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's okay. It's your first time.
It is.
You know what, though? I'm nervous, too.
Are you?
I'm always nervous, Johnny. So let's get to know you from the ground up, Johnny. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in two places. When I was first brought home, because I was adopted, so I was brought home from Children's Haven. I was 6 months to Scarborough, Ontario, and I lived there for about 10 years, and then we moved to Unionville, Ontario, where I went to high school, and I lived there while I went to college and stuff like that. And then I started working in security, like crappy security jobs. And then then I ended up moving to Scarborough,
right,
Ontario.
And you got into security. You were a bouncer?
My first security job ever was with Eaton's, if you remember Eaton's back in the day. My dad worked for Eaton's for 30 years, so I got in there at their warehouse. And then one of my friends was working at a bar. He said, you know, you should come work here because it's better money and it's a lot of fun and it's a big party, whatever. So I checked it out and I was like, yeah, you know what? It's a lot better than sitting at a desk all day long. So,
yeah.
So that's how I started. I was about 19. So
now, is that around the time that you got into, mixed martial arts?
I wouldn't say mixed martial arts. Mixed martial artists are actually like trained people. They've been doing it for years. I was more like I took boxing from the time I was about 17 till I was about 20.
Okay.
So I had a little bit of a boxing background. Mm-hmm. And that's what I started in, was like these underground tough man boxing events that were like illegal. You weren't allowed to hold them in Ontario especially, but mostly across Canada. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did that for a while. I mean, you don't make a lot of money. I mean, you make a little bit.
It's right.
Better than nothing, right? And if you're good at it, why not, right?
Now, I take it you are a wrestling fan, Johnny Reynolds.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
WrestleMania
was
Did you just get back from WrestleMania, Johnny?
I did, from Orlando, Florida. Yeah, it was pretty crazy there.
How was it?
It was insane. I've been to wrestling events before, but I've never been to WrestleMania, even though it's been here in Toronto twice, but I never got to go. So, yeah, 80-something thousand people in a big stadium. It's pretty nuts.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
I don't know if I have a favorite wrestler. I think I like Triple H only because, to me, wrestling's more, it's not about like who wins or loses and things like that. To me, it's more like who tells the best story in the ring, right?
Yeah.
And Triple H, to me, has always been one of the best guys.
I used to love The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, he was pretty nuts, but
yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
He's kind of dead now.
Yeah, kind of. He's a lot dead now. But
John Cena, he's...
John Cena, yeah. The thing, you were asking me earlier about John Cena, but he just, at WrestleMania, he proposed to his girlfriend in the ring, right?
Right.
And nobody was really sure if it was real or if it was fake or what it was, because they're all part of that reality show, so they weren't sure. But apparently it was real, so pretty crazy to do that in front of 80,000 people.
So you're a member of the Toronto Bisexual Network.
I am, yeah.
How long have you been a member?
Just, I think, over 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk to me about the Toronto Bisexual Network. What is it all about?
What is it all about? Mm-hmm. It's just a network that brings bisexual people of Toronto together. Mm-hmm. And
are there meetings that happen?
Yeah, there's meetings. You know, there's lots of support, too, just online. Like, if you have a question or something, mm-hmm. you can write something on Facebook, and someone will – at least one person will answer you. You'll probably get about 10 responses, but mm-hmm. if someone will answer you with some advice or whatever. But, yeah, they have meetings, like, once a month for men and once a month for women as well. And mm-hmm. I think they have one that's, like, a mixed group as okay. well. And then every – once a month they have, like, a brunch down at the Firkin there on Church Street. You know? Okay. Yeah, so they have that where you can get together and meet people. And
And the meetings are held at the 519, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I know I did an episode on the Toronto Bisexual Network talking right. about bisexuality and all that stuff around like July, August of 2016. So this is my second bisexual episode featuring you.
Featuring me.
Featuring you, Johnny Reynolds.
I'm famous.
So you've been part of the Toronto Bisexual Network for, like you said, 3 years?
Mm-hmm, just over 3 years.
And how do you find it in terms of support? Like, do you find going there, telling your story, do they have that sort of outlet?
Yeah, absolutely. You can post whatever you want as long as it's within the guidelines of what they mm-hmm. consider proper content.
So, but when you're at the meetings, though, what happens at the meetings? Do you guys share stories?
Like yeah, share stories, share, you know, ideas about, like, because some people come to the meetings and they're not out yet, right?
Okay.
So difficulties on how you're coming out or how to deal with family members or mm-hmm. Everything that has to deal with being bisexual.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because earlier, I guess in the pre-interview, I've never used that term before, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me about, and we'll talk about this later, mm-hmm. but about coming out as bisexual. And I was sharing with you that me as a gay person, I never thought of a bisexual person as having to come out
mm-hmm.
as being bisexual. And maybe this is my ignorance,
right.
but because for me, I see it as, you know, a bisexual person can, you know, they can blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a gay person, there's a bit more of a stigma attached, whether, especially if you're like an effeminate, you know, gay person like myself.
Sure.
So I found that interesting, you know, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, biphobia, that sort of thing. So have you actually experienced that?
Because
you're a pretty big guy. So I'm sure if anyone's going to throw shade at you, you might just be able to, like, punch their lights out.
I've never, I've had, like, tough guys on social media and stuff say things to me.
Okay.
Make comments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that's all keyboard toughness, right? That's nothing right. to do with my face. And
but face-to-face, you haven't.
Face-to-face, like, I've never experienced right. somebody coming. But, again, like, there's not that many people that would want to do that in the first place, but
right.
I mean, sometimes people make comments, and not necessarily towards me, but I've heard, you know, certain words like faggot and stuff like that when they're having an argument with somebody, and I kind of just look at them like, relax, you know, like
right.
find a different word, because that word even bothered me even before it came out. So it wasn't like all of a sudden it came out, and I just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I became like this tyrant, but
yeah,
it's just. There's no reason to use words like that or to put people down. Or there's no reason for it.
To anyone.
To anyone.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're straight or gay.
Yeah. No. Well, Johnny, on that note, let's take a break. Let's listen to Tanya Hazel's Burn It. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Hi, Hi, my name is Tanya Hazel. I'm a singer-songwriter from Bristol in the UK. Music is my love. It's where I can express myself and be creative. It was in my early 20s when I had to be honest with myself in realising that I was a bisexual woman. I'm sharing three songs, Burn It, Rhyme or Reason with More Human Than Human, and Sometimes We All Go Crazy. For more about me, Tanya Hazel, you can find my page on Facebook.
Standing in the silence, walking in a dream. I can't seem to breathe this, I can't seem to heal. Feeling like a lifetime memory I can't kill. It's drowning up my daylight, it's making me ill. I just gotta stop it, I gotta break the spell. Losing all my fight, I need a fighter, not a pill. There's a light inside me, I just need to strike. Can't give in to the darkness in my deepest night.
Burn it, baby, hurting, baby, no more of your crying, baby. Burn it, baby, shine like crazy, burn away. Burn it, baby, work it, baby, you're a burning fire, baby. Fight a baby, light up, baby, burn away. Burn it, baby, hurting, baby, no more of your crying, baby. Burn it, baby, shine like crazy, burn away. Burn it, baby, work it, baby, you're a burning fire, baby. Fight a baby, light up, lady, burn away.
Everything around me just tends to look the same. The stories in the papers, the lies, the truths again. We're sitting in an orbit right among the stars. A moment on a timeline, a moment that is ours. A battlefield mine can't take you anywhere. Time to let it go before you haven't got a prayer. Gotta fight the feeling, it's never as it seems. Get over yourself, start living your dreams.
And welcome back. You're listening to Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show. I'm your host, Mark Tara, and joining me in studio is Johnny Reynolds. Welcome back, Johnny.
Thank you.
And we are talking about bisexuality. Now, before we heard Tanya Hazel's Burn It, we were talking about coming out. Johnny,
mm-hmm.
Talk to me about your story in terms of coming out as bisexual. Because apparently you did it on social media.
I did it on Facebook.
And how was the response?
Amazing. Like, it was crazy how many people were
now,
so supportive. And
why did you want to do this on social media? Why Facebook?
Well, because I'm chicken, basically.
Okay.
Like, I thought it would be better just to put out like a message right to everybody.
A message and then turn off your computer.
Exactly. And it, you know what? It's funny because someone commented, like, because I made a comment in the story when I put it out that, you know, if people don't like it, then that's their problem. If you don't want to be friends with me, whatever. And someone made a comment, if they don't want to be friends with you because of this, then they're not your real friends to begin with.
Mm.
So it actually helped to like clear a lot of the bad people out of my Facebook, you know, world, and get rid of them because they were negative, right?
And how long ago was that?
Just about 3 years ago. So
really?
Yeah.
So not that long.
Yeah.
So this next question, Johnny, it's going to sound odd,
mm-hmm.
but the question is, what does bisexuality mean to you? And the reason that I'm asking that is because there are a lot of words out there like pansexual,
right,
like omnisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they all seem to encompass the same thing, which is like, you know, you can love a man or a woman essentially, right?
Yeah.
So what is bisexuality? What does that mean to you, Johnny?
To me, well, I think I'm a little bit different when it comes to bisexuality because I don't look at whether it's a man or a woman or even trans. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me. As long as if I like that person and I get along with that person, then
you'll be attracted to them.
Yeah.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with their gender or anything like that. It's just if I get along with you, then I want to hang out with you more. Like, it's simple.
You want to rock and roll.
Yeah, it's just simple, right? Like, if I don't get along with you, I don't want to be around you. So
yeah,
regardless of what sex you are. But that's just, I think that's just me. Like, I think a lot of people look at bisexuality as, you know, the straightforward, like, man, woman, that's it, right? Like, you're attracted to both. Like, you're attracted to a man or a woman, and that's it.
Right.
Where I don't necessarily look at it that way. But, I mean, I know it's pansexual is supposed to be, like, everything or mm-hmm. everybody, but mm-hmm. I don't look at it that way. I just look at I identify as bisexual, but I identify it for me as, like, whoever
floats your boat.
Whoever I fancy, you know, whoever I like. That's the way it is.
So would you be attracted to a trans individual as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So then why wouldn't you consider yourself pansexual or omnisexual? Why bisexual?
Well, I think bisexual is a lot easier to explain to people.
Right.
Right? As far as pansexual, omnisexual.
Right.
Like, I just... recently
or even fluid.
Yeah, like I just recently found out what all that stuff meant. Yeah. Right? Like, I didn't even
me
know.
Me too,
before.
Johnny. Me too.
Right. So I didn't even know it before. So
I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't
all
know.
All these words.
But I don't know. I don't think we need to really put you have to put a label on everything, but I don't know.
Well, that's, you know what, a lot of people say that, but mm-hmm. the world that we live in, Johnny. Yeah. It's so who are you wearing or what team do you like?
Yeah.
You like, you know, this baseball team,
yeah.
you know,
it's
well, what team do you play for?
Yeah.
Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you bi?
Yeah, exactly. Or, which way do you swing in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think labels are necessary so that we can understand. Otherwise, I don't think we'd be able to. Right.
Right.
You know, that's my take.
Okay.
So when did you realize, Johnny, that you were attracted to both men and women? When did that happen for you?
I think I was pretty young. Not super young, but in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
And probably before high school, just before high school.
What was your first crush? Do you remember?
I see. That's the thing. I've never had like a male crush, like somebody I know or
okay.
something. I haven't like guys that I idolize, or maybe that's part of it, right? Like people, like, you know, sports stars or something like that. But maybe that has something to do with it, right?
Right.
Maybe if there's an attraction there as well. I don't know. But yeah, I can't remember like saying like, oh my God, that person's, you know.
Was it easier for you to be attracted to women?
Well, easier, I guess, in your mind, because you, like I said, when you grow up doing.
But I guess when I'm saying that, I mean, was it easier for you to accept that you're attracted to a woman rather than I'm attracted to this man? Wait a second, am I gay?
Yeah, you well, know? Back so, then, yeah, absolutely, right?
Right.
So you'd always try to find, like, you know, you'd be looking at, like, pictures and stuff like that, because I wasn't around, like, when I was younger, there was no internet or anything like that, mm-hmm. right? So it was, like, magazine stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you actually found a magazine, like a gay magazine or something, you'd be looking through it and be like, oh, that's kind of different or whatever. And then, you know what I mean? But then you're like, oh, I better grab the other magazine, the Playboy, and just go through that so nobody thinks anything, right?
Right. Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. But that's the way it was back then. And I think nowadays it's a lot different. But when I was growing up, it was no. Like, if you were gay, that was a big thing, right?
Do you remember your first kiss?
I do.
Do you?
Actually, I think
would you like to share?
I think I was 5 years old back in Scarborough, and it was a girl who lived down the street. Her dad played in the CFL or something, so we were always over there all the time because I think we liked her dad more than anything else, right? But because he was a football player or whatever. Uh-huh. But, yeah, it was in her basement, and, yeah, that's it. We were playing, I don't know, some kind of, you know how it is, right? Playing some kind of game.
That's cute.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's I still remember that. And I was, like I said, about 5 years old, five or six.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you did you did I hear you correctly? You said you think you might have been attracted more to
No, I didn't say attracted. No, no.
Oh, okay.
I said we as guys we were probably more like interested in being around her dad because
He was
like
a football player.
Sports guy, right? So
right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the actual act of sex, making
Uh-oh.
Love, that sort of thing.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's the midnight hour, honey. Talk to me about when you're, you know, going to be passionate with someone, when you're going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
be intimate with someone. When you're being intimate with a man, when you're intimate with a woman, do you approach things differently, Johnny? Like, there are differences
mm-hmm.
anatomically, yes. But do you approach things differently if it's a man that you're with or if you're with a woman?
No. It's both. I'm exactly the same way.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Where I'm very, like, shy and kind of, you know, let them kind of take control kind of thing. I might be a big dude, but I'm not into, you know, overpowering or controlling people when it comes to sex and stuff like that. I like to be the...
Are you more submissive?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're more
absolutely.
Submissive?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And on both sides of the fence, so...
What does that mean?
Well, men... And women.
Oh,
yeah.
You're submissive to both men
absolutely,
and women.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so then do you like your partner to be more aggressive?
A little bit. Not anything insane or you know what I mean, like super aggressive. But,
right.
But yeah, I because I'm a chicken, right? Like I said before, I like people to take the lead, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. So this is going to, again, you know, these are my honest thoughts
mm-hmm.
and my honest questions because I'm asking these questions because I personally want to know,
yeah,
to find out more,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I just happen to have a fucking gay radio show. Hello. So, Johnny, let me paint you a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a club.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You see two people, a man, you see a woman. They're both equally attractive,
right.
And you're equally attracted to both of them.
Right.
But you can only be with one person. You can't have a threesome.
Right.
How do you decide if you're going to be attracted to the man or to the woman? How does that happen? Is it like something that's just organic? You're not necessarily talking to them. I'm talking about you're just seeing them for the first time. Explain that to me. Walk me through that.
I don't know if it's organic. It's more, like I said, it has to do with personality, right?
But if you just see someone, their physicality, you're not necessarily seeing their personality per se.
Well, that's a funny thing because a lot of times when you say physicality, like even trans people can turn me on as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, that's two different sides of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's tough to say who I would... approach or who I would rather
be with right
and sometimes it depends on my mood too, right? Like I
well that's what I'm trying to get
yeah.
at like
there's sometimes where it's like a woman, you know what, I'm just so sick of women, like I don't, you know, I'd rather just hang out and talk to a dude for
mm-hmm.
you know, and then whatever happens happens.
How do you find you meet people?
How do I meet people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean being a bouncer was a good way of meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Pride is actually a good way to meet people.
Because
okay. Everybody's looking to
everybody's
do
happy.
Yeah,
on,
everyone's happy.
On Pride.
Even I am too. And I don't even really drink, but that's the only time I drink is at Pride.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, no. I mean, I don't really hang out. I mean, I hang out at bars up in where I live. But
mm-hmm.
Only because my friends work there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because I'm a drinker or anything else. It's just my friends own it. My friends work there. And
mm-hmm.
so that's where I go because I want to be around my friends. But, yeah, I don't really go out to places. Like some of my friends do. They go to Cruise and Tangos and stuff like that. But that's just not my thing.
Right. So is the Toronto Bisexual Network, is that a place that you can meet people?
You could, yeah.
Or is it more of like a support?
Well, it's more, I think it's a little bit of both, right? Okay. It's a lot of support, like with the meetings and everything else. But I think there's a reason why they have a brunch at the end of every month so people can, you know, get to know each other. But it's not necessarily about hooking up, but it's maybe getting to know somebody else who's exactly like you, right? Maybe you haven't met anybody else that's bisexual and
right.
You get a chance to do that, right? And then who knows? You never know.
Well, on that note, Johnny, let's take another break. Let's check out Tanya Hazel's Rhyme or Reason. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Thank you.
listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is the station's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And I am your tour guide. I'm your host, Mark Tara. And joining me in studio is Johnny Reynolds. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And we're talking about bisexuality. So, Johnny, in terms of the Toronto Bisexual Network, you've been a member for 3 years.
Yeah.
How do people basically join? Can you walk us through that?
Well, you can't. It's not like other things on Facebook where you just like press, you click join or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to send an email. There's instructions on the. If you go on Facebook and you look up Toronto Bisexual Network or TBN or whatever.
So you join through Facebook first.
You join through Facebook, but you have to send an email.
Right.
To, I can't remember the guy's name, but one of the administrators.
Right.
And they, you look up your story and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you have to send them almost like a little blurb about your life and whatnot, mm-hmm. right? And then they'll accept you into the group and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then you get on not just Facebook, also the email list. Mm-hmm. So like anytime someone responds to like an article or something like that, you get an email
right.
with their response and things
and,
like that.
And so what sort of events do they have at the Toronto Bisexual Network? Because they meet at the 519.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are groups for men, there are groups for women.
Mm-hmm.
And you were mentioning about a brunch that happens.
Right, right.
So
it's like
what
the second Sunday of every month or something like that.
That's for the brunch?
Yeah.
And so how often does the Toronto Bisexual Network, how often do they meet?
Once a month for each group, yeah.
Okay.
And as far as I know, that's what it used to be.
But, okay.
Yeah, once a month and then...
And so what happens when you guys meet? Is it like a social event? Is it more guys sit around and you share stories, you deal with like issues that are happening. Walk me through that.
Well, to be honest, I've never been to an actual meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But I know what they're about, right? Mm-hmm. And they explain it to you before you if you want to show up to the meeting. This is what's going to happen. This mm-hmm. is what people can ask questions about this or that or...
So then with your experience through the Toronto Bisexual Network, you haven't been to the meetings,
mm-hmm.
but on the postings on Facebook, do they have like, say, hey, there's this event that's happening?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so what sort of events do they have?
Well, all kinds of things. Like if there's a...
Like you mentioned the brunch that happens once a month.
There's people that have events and they want to post about it, like somebody that's having like a... art exhibit or something like that, but it has to do with like bisexuality or something like that. Or they've written an article about something in some magazine or something somewhere, so they can advertise that on the network, right? Mm-hmm. As long as that's what it's for. It's not for the network itself, like on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily for they call it hookups and things like that. That's not what it's for, right? It's for people to know more about bi people. And what they do in everyday life, right? So
and to socialize.
Well, socializing I think is more when you're actually at an event or something, or if you're at the brunch or whatever.
Right.
Even after, I know I've seen comments before, like people say like after meetings they go and some people go hang out at a bar
or
something like that.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll go and hang out, right? And that's the time to socialize and things like that.
Right.
They're not putting
a post up saying, "Hey, everyone,
here's my number." And send me, dick pics or whatever. It's,
right.
It's not what they're about.
Right.
So. Classy.
Keeping it classy. So, would you have a relationship, a same-sex relationship, Johnny?
Absolutely. If I got along with that person.
Right.
I mean, that's what I said before. Like, it doesn't matter what gender they are as long as I get along with them.
Right. Right?
And I wouldn't care. Like, I could give
that doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, I could give a shit what anyone says, right? You're going to say something to me while I'm walking in, go ahead, whatever. That's your problem, right?
There are people that I've met that are, they consider themselves queer or, bisexual or whatever.
Mm.
But they wouldn't necessarily have a same-sex relationship.
Right.
I mean, they might have, you know, encounters here and there, but right. in terms of, like, you know, dating someone, yeah. having a relationship, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking the question, because
yeah. I mean,
everyone's
I say,
different.
I say that I would, and I would. Like, I'm not lying about that, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I've maybe had, like, 3 relationships in my entire life. So.
Right.
So the chances of it actually happening are probably slim, but at the same time, I'm not against it. Like, I'm not going to close my eyes and say, no, I can't have a relationship with a guy. I don't know, right? I don't mm-hmm. know if I meet somebody that's going to be great and you can hang out with and talk about whatever, you know what I mean? And you get along, mm-hmm. why not?
And so your experiences have been good with the Toronto Bisexual Network?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah.
What was the last event that you went to?
I don't remember. I just know that... On, like I said, on social media and stuff like that, when mm-hmm. when you have a question or if you have some sort of...
The support is there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And they send out, you know, when you join, they send out an email to everybody, like, please welcome Johnny to the group or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
And people will send you emails saying, like, hey, Johnny, like, if there's anything you need to talk about or you want to ask questions, here's my yeah. email and things like that. Right?
So and I know that during Pride, they always have... a booth.
They do, yeah.
On
yeah.
Pride weekend.
Yeah, and they're always asking for volunteers, and mm-hmm. obviously I...
Have you ever done that?
No. I should, probably one of these years.
But, you never know. It might be another way to meet people.
Well, that's it, right? Instead of being drunk, hanging out at the behind the 519, hey, I should be in front of
them. Hey, there is nothing wrong with being drunk on Pride weekend and, you know, maybe even volunteering at the Toronto, you know, Bisexual Network.
Yeah.
You know, you're having some drinks, some libations, and you're feeling your... You're feeling fine?
Yeah. Just, well, then in certain...
Summer is too short here in Canada.
I know, it's brutal. The last few prides have been pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. The weather's been pretty good.
What are your thoughts on what's been happening with Pride and police and Black Lives Matter? What are your thoughts, Johnny?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew it.
Really? Okay, well...
I knew you were going to ask me. You know what?
You've got 3 minutes.
I don't really know, because I'm not black, and I've never had... issues. I've never had
but
issues.
But it's not
with,
necessarily about that. It's more about the exclusion
but
of what.
At the same time, I don't know.
They're talking about in terms yeah. of Black Lives Matter.
Like they have an issue, like a legitimate issue with the police. But I don't know, as a white guy, I don't know that situation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel bad that I don't, because there's obviously something wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and
but do you think the answer is to exclude?
No. The answer is never to exclude, I don't think. You have to include everybody. That's mm-hmm. what Pride's about, right? Mm-hmm. It's including everybody. It doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, bi, trans, whatever. Pride's about welcoming everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I don't agree with that per se, but at the same time, I don't really know the ins and outs of, you know, their
the black experience.
Yeah, their yeah. issues with the police, right? So... It's unfortunate, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's,
can you keep, I mean, obviously the police are going to be there as security and, mm-hmm. and to look after things, because
right.
that's what they do. Right.
Yeah.
But as far as being in the parade and stuff like that, you know, they're not going to be in it. So I get that part of it, but at least you feel somewhat safe knowing that they're still going to be.
Yeah. I mean, they have to
some
do
sort
their,
of security.
They have to do their job.
Absolutely.
You know, but I think that, I think Black Lives Matter, if they really wanted to do, you know, the right thing, they wanted to improve the situation. I don't think exclusion is a step in the right direction. I really don't think so.
No,
These are my personal views.
Yeah, I would never think exclusion is good
yeah.
for anything.
Yeah.
So it's better to include everybody and not keep people out. Right?
Well, Johnny Reynolds... thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
No problem.
And to come in person. Means a lot.
No problem.
And for being on the show.
Absolutely.
You bisexual man, you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sharing your story.
All right.
Johnny Reynolds. I'll be right back.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
Listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. Don't forget, get social, get interactive with me, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Want to send me an email? mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything's hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Next week, I hope to have a guest from Big Brother, like in the U.S., Jason Roy. I hope to make that happen. Hopefully, he'll be joining me live on the phone. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. Taking us out, Eartha Kitt. Where is my man?
Tiffany.